We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
We knew you weren't getting yourself. You know, you went all in for this house, so we thought it was going to be tough for you.
Oh,
so
we thought
we were getting the car that you were looking at.
That's exactly what
came from Meek and Jay and Will and Alan and Des.
Oh, and Jonathan.
God, that's exactly... How the fudge did you get it? Because we couldn't get it.
We have resources.
It's been driving on a flatbed for a long time.
We spent hours making it for us.
Well, are you kidding? Oh, this was...
I want to get something. We knew you wouldn't get yourself.
The new Jigga Man, RKK, 80 years old, rolling in that Bentley. Yo, that thing is nice, man.
Sure,
I'm not a car
is.
Guy at all.
Me neither.
Cars are utilitarian. They're to be driven and beaten the hell out of.
A to B. Get me from A to B.
However.
That people like cars.
However, man. How about Mr. Krabs with the whole, you know, where did you find it? I couldn't get one of
even
these.
Even he couldn't get it.
How about
tell
that?
Tell me how rare it is.
Well,
right?
Again, when you know, like, with all due respect to close personal friend of Robert Kraft, like. Yeah. Meek Mill is not pulling that off.
No.
That's Jay-Z being like, oh, yeah.
Getting together.
Yeah, that's Jay-Z being like, yo, I'll call from Beyonce's phone. I won't even cash in the favor. We'll get right through with Bay's phone, and we'll get that thing locked and loaded and ready to go for Mr. Kraft. And apparently it was a gift from about 10 different people.
Well, that's an expensive car. So they're like, hey, you want to go in on this with me?
A couple billionaires. What's 250 grand between billionaires, right? Because Jay-Z is a billionaire, right?
I think so. But who isn't these days?
Well,
Meek Mill probably isn't.
Meek Mill isn't.
No.
I mean, and
go Meek Mill.
Meek Mill net worth.
Where do you think we're at here?
I'm gonna
take some stabs.
I'll go $7.5 million.
$7.5 million. Shyam, do you have a guess on the Meek Mill net worth? And by the way, these websites are always correct.
Oh, yeah. It's like Wikipedia.
John, do you have a guess? Meek Mill? No guess. You said $7 million?
$7.5 million I went for net worth.
$20 million.
Wow.
$20 million.
Do you normally cut those in half when you read that?
There's no way these are right. There's no way these are right. So you might be.
Because you know what? Google some people that have worked in Boston radio and see what they have for their net worths. I'm pretty sure. Type in Greg Hill.
Glenn Ordway.
Oh, there you go. They'll do one. I'll say they'll do $2 million on celebrity net worth for Glenn. No, not on there.
Not on there.
I know sometimes you can just type into the old Google search and they'll pop up. But in all seriousness, Robert Kraft, 80 years old. And I know we're going to talk to Tommy Curran about the football piece of the Patriots coming up.
Right.
But if we take a step back, has there been an owner who has meant more to this region than Robert Kraft? When you think of at the very beginning, he bought this team to keep it from moving.
I mean, that right there kind of puts you in a different category, right?
Because
how many other teams were in jeopardy of going somewhere else? Now, I know people don't want to hear it, but think about the success the team has had under John Henry with the Red Sox, how bad they were for a very long time, how we all thought we would live and die with never seeing a World Series. And then they won multiple World Series. But at the same time, they weren't going to take the Red Sox and send them out of state.
No.
They weren't going to do that. And also the Patriots, let's face it, they were not a very good outfit either for a very, very long time. And to see them go, and I also think what helps too is in that time too, going back to when Kraft bought the team, when Henry bought the team, even if you want to include the other owners, how the NFL has so far surpassed all the other sports in popularity. Like, it leads you to be like, yeah, he's the most.
And the value owner of those properties.
Oh, it's off the charts.
It's funny that you mentioned John Henry, because somehow John Henry has figured out how to win at a level that no other owner here has, and yet is nowhere near universally beloved.
No, not at all. And it's funny, I bring him up knowing that people are going to go, come on!
Right.
Like they hate it, but just look at the winning. Like, there's been so much winning there. But if you put out a poll, which owner do you like more, it would be unanimous. It would be 100% Robert Kraft, 0% John Henry.
It's the one
unanimous thing, I think, out there in the world.
I completely agree. And I would dare say that number two, in terms of ownership, would probably be the Celtics ownership group. Just for this reason.
Yeah.
It's A, the Jacobs have the stains of the past on them. The Bruins fans are not. I mean,
they'll be fourth.
It will take generations of Bruins fans to pass before there's a different sort of narrative on the Jacobs family, right? We mentioned about the Red Sox and John Henry, but what do Robert Kraft and Whit Grosbeck have in common? Local dudes. And it is the dream of the townie, is it not? Like, wouldn't it be the dream?
Course. Right? Yes,
If you had $5 billion, though, and you could buy any of the four, is it automatic that you would buy the Patriots?
I think you probably have to. It's the best investment.
Or would you buy the Celtics?
I personally would probably want to buy the Celtics, but I think my money guy would be like, listen, buy the... I don't have a money guy. I had a money guy. At that point, I'd have to have a money guy.
You would have to.
$5 billion.
And trust me, they'd be lining up.
They would say, buy a football team.
Buy
a football team. The next day, it's already going to be worth more money.
It's so crazy how those franchise values have gone up. But when you think of the connectivity of Robert Kraft... Like, when I first clicked on that story, I'm thinking, oh, man, there's going to be, like, Meek Mill, and Robert's going to be standing there looking at, what was it, Nicki Minaj? Like, remember that on stage?
Cardi B.
He did the whole, woo, that was hot kind of thing. Like, I'm figuring it's going to be one of those. And no, it's just him hanging out in Florida, and he's hugging people left and right because they gave him what was, admittedly, a fly-ass car.
And I feel like every year when it's either Kraft's, Belichick's, or when he was here, Brady's birthday, we ask the question, how much longer are they in their current role, right? Mm-hmm. And with Robert, I think for a number of years now, Jonathan has just been there, and even if regardless of what the titles are, you know, there's the two of them kind of moving this whole thing along. But do you think that it's going to be a Kraft and Belichick kind of keep their titles, keep their current roles together? Because, you know, some people thought, hey, maybe Brady and Belichick will coach and play the same amount of time. I'm like, that's not going to happen. But owner coach, you could see it. Whereas, so the next coach is really Jonathan Kraft, the next coach / GM, let's face it, will be Jonathan's decision.
I have always said for years, even when I was on the Patriots Radio Network, that once the team is Jonathan Kraft's, that's when Belichick goes away. Not because he gets fired.
No.
Not because they don't like each other. But because when you have that big a shakeup in the organization to where you essentially have new ownership because Jonathan would be the one calling the shots, that's when I think that relationship ends, and that's where that reboot begins on that end. I do think that it might take a year, right? It all depends on how it goes down. Like, if it's in the middle of a season, I don't think, you know, BB's going to be like, yo, I'm out of here because Robert Kraft isn't here. But I would then say shortly thereafter that, I can't see that relationship being the same with Bill and Jonathan as it is with Bill and Robert.
No, probably not. And remember years ago, I forget if it was Robert or Jonathan, said they knew how much longer Belichick wanted to coach. And I don't know if that number has changed.
Both have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that number has moved at all, or that year has moved at all. Or if not, I wonder if that's just sort of the obvious, like, all right, this is when we'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill says he wants to coach till 2025. That's when we'll officially make the announcement, even though Jonathan, I'm sure, is wearing a lot of hats right now as it is.
All right, you're not a car guy. However, if you had some really rich friends and they came together and bought you a car, what would you want?
Maybe the one from Talladega Nights, maybe Ricky Bobby's car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
like
you're
an actual NASCAR.
So you want a novelty car one that
or
you
can. Or a Batmobile. I changed my mind. I want a Batmobile.
You want him to go to Doug Flutie's house and make him an offer that he can't refuse.
Correct. I'll bring you to negotiate. I know you're friends with him.
You wouldn't even get in the door. No. Your friends wouldn't want that either. My God. It's pretty. We poor Shime, we asked him about Meek Mill, and he was like stumped. He had no idea. I couldn't even handle it. Shime is staring in.
I have him doing something.
I was going to say, he is staring in on something.
John gave him an assignment.
Oh, yeah.
Is that how that works back there? Shime, he gives you assignments you have to do?
No, I'm just looking for something.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Crack research
stuff. We're on a scavenger hunt?
He's staring at that thing like this.
I told you yesterday I was a great PI, so I'm just kind of doing my job.
Oh, okay. This is going to be a long con, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just get ready for it.
I feel you.
All right, well.
Red Sox tickets we will have to give away in the 1 o'clock hour. Sox host Houston tonight. Start a 3-game series on the Shaws and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. So we'll hook you up with some tickets a little bit later on. Let's get to Tommy.
Covering an uncharacteristically aggressive Patriots offseason.
The Patriots are going to be extremely and uncharacteristically aggressive in this offseason.
It's time for Tuesday with Tommy Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Aggression Key.
Tommy is brought to us by Dr. Matthew LaPrestia, Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. And Tommy joins us on the Harbor One hotline. So, Tommy Curran, let's start with this. If you had rich friends and they bought you a car like RKK had gifted to him yesterday, what car would you want gifted to you?
Probably that Steve McQueen Bullet.
Oh, wow. The original badass.
Now, I was just going to say, like, that is the true era of lawlessness, right? When men just roamed the earth and did what they wanted.
100%.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Give me that one.
If I was, if I had $5 billion, I would have gotten Julio Jones. That's what I would have done.
I want the Bill Clinton El Camino. It's got stories.
Okay.
El Camino's got that. That's the fake hatchback.
Yeah. He allegedly had the turf in the back when he wasn't smoking all that weed. He wasn't inhaling.
Oh, it's beautiful. Hey, listen, just because you can afford a $250,000 Bentley or just because you can afford Julio Jones doesn't mean you have to go and get it.
Tom,
just because you have the money doesn't mean you need to go and get it.
So what in your mind was the biggest reason for not being more aggressive for Julio Jones? Was it his contract? Was it his age? Was it didn't think it was a need necessarily? You know, what do you think stood out?
I think it starts with Atlanta, Rich. Atlanta is going to put him out at the end of the driveway with a price tag on him, and it's going to say not free to a good home. It's going to be you take care of all expenses. And once Atlanta had begun with that as their starting point, the first team that said, okay, we'll pick up everything was going to be the winner. So I think that would the Patriots have come out of the woodwork if, like the Denver Broncos and Carolina Panthers worked out with Teddy Bridgewater, there was going to be some money taken off the $15.3 million? Certainly. But I don't think that that was the starting point as to why he's a Titan and not with another team, Seattle, New England, whoever. It's because they were willing to pay full freight.
Tommy Curran talking football with us on Gresham Keefe. Do you think there's anything to Atlanta not maybe wanting to deal with New England because of 28-3 and everything that has happened since?
You know, I thought about that earlier this offseason, and if it turned into a bidding war and all, if they needed to settle a tie, maybe that would have entered into it. But they want to, they're billionaires for a reason, Arthur Blank, and they're trying to pursue something in terms of a championship. And $15.3 million that you're moving on from with quite likely a future Hall of Fame player, you have to save the money. So it doesn't matter if the Patriots were willing to take that 15.3 and give up, say, a first or 2 seconds or something like that, he'd be a Patriot right now. But I just don't think the Patriots were in a position. And to me, guys, the Patriots have spent so much this offseason on the offensive side of the ball, that I don't want to say that Julio Jones is overkill, because you'd always find a place for him. It's not like Lou Gorman back 30 years ago saying, where would we play Willie? What would we do with Willie McGee? But there's a point at which you're like, okay, we've done all this already. This is a luxury item we would be purchasing in Julio Jones.
True, but I mean, Julio Jones isn't always available. And is $15 million really a lot of money for that type of player?
Not if you're not paying the quarterback. Rich, I can argue both sides of this.
Yeah.
If you're not paying the quarterback and you want to try and maximize your window now, not wait for 2 or 3 years for Mac Jones to develop to being a supercomputer, then take advantage of it. Take advantage of it now and spend it.
Tommy, do you think if they had $30 million in cap space versus $15 million, like you said, the whole, well, you know, just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it. And if we go by Bill years of the past, he tries to have a $10 to $12 million slush fund, let's call it, in terms of because people get hurt. And we've seen it every year. They've either had to maybe sometimes they give somebody an extension or spend that money. Do you think if the cap space situation were seamless to where they can just say 15.4, slide it right in there, and we still got $12 million left for the season, that it might have changed things a little bit?
Yeah, it might have. And I think what's also worth bearing in mind is that the two highest cap hits right now on the team are $16 million for Stephon Gilmore and $12-plus million to Dante Hightower. And I would say that both of those individuals have some uncertainty surrounding them at the moment. You know, that's a lot of money for Hightower, who's, I believe it's an $8 million salary, to come back to. We haven't seen him yet at the OTAs, as far as I know. His intention is to come back. But the Patriots, if they're going to take a $12 million cap hit and pay $8 million, they probably want to see him soon. And he's taken the physical. So I know that that did happen as well. But, you know, those are things that they have to weigh. Stephon Gilmore's coming off an injury, and he may want a raise. So there's a lot of interesting higher financial hits, Julio Jones included, that are fascinating to look at because these guys are all older. They're all carrying a lot of money. And the Patriots were so deep in the frying pan in an uncharacteristic way, salary cap-wise, in the recent past. Maybe Bill's like, I'm not doing that thing again.
I know you just kind of hit on it, but is Hightower definitely coming back, or at least as we sit here today, is he coming back?
I have not been disabused of that notion.
Okay.
I think his intention is fully to come back.
Do you think the Gilmore thing is going to get to a head here? Everybody's been saying there's no way he's showing up. So I'm assuming now he's not going to show up, allegedly, supposedly. I mean, they've given him every dollar that they promised him in the beginning. But I guess because someone's really good, like Tommy, I hope your bosses walk into you and say, you're so good, we're going to give you an extra $100,000 just because. And in this instance, it would be, you know what, Stephon, you're so good, let's double your salary for the hell of it. Like, those are notions that I don't connect with.
Agreed. I just don't understand the pecking order of, okay, Xavier Howard. But look, some guys have horrible timing with contracts. Julian Edelman had horrible timing throughout his career with his contracts coming up. Some guys have it great. Danny Amendola signed a 5-25 when Wes Welker left, which was a lot.
Golly.
And that was more, I think, than Julian ever signed for. And this is the situation. Look, Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, Darius Slay, they all make between $17 and $20 million in salary. Steph Gilmore's at $7 million this year. But you have to look at what was the average annual value of Steph's contract, $5 and $65 million, plus they've given him a $5 million raise last year, so it was basically $5 and $70 million. He wants to be here, but if it's a matter of pride or injustice, I have a harder time getting my mind around it. But you have a Super Bowl caliber team, and without a shutdown corner, of which Steph lives in that category, you might not be able to get to the same level. They need him.
Going back to Julio Jones for a second, Tom, with him on Tennessee now, how big of a gap do you think there is between the Titans and the Patriots? And also, how close do you think it is now between the Titans and the Chiefs?
Good question. I think that the Titans have a much better quarterback. But if we went individual for individual on the offense, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, I'm not sure who their tight end is. Obviously, Derrick Henry in the backfield.
They have Firkster.
There's another wideout missing.
They have Firkster. Anthony Firkster.
Oh, yep, yeah. Tony Firkster.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Henry, Jones, Brown, and Tannehill. That's pretty good.
But they couldn't generate a pass rush to save their lives last
year. True.
And that, to me, they lost a lot this offseason. So I don't – Tennessee gets better,
You
put Julio Jones on a team with it, Tannehill and A.J. Brown, they get better. But I think the Patriots – are probably right there with them as opposed to not even in the same zip code last year.
Tommy, we talked about this yesterday. Is it evident that everybody in the AFC is just trying to bully up against Kansas City? Because if you look at Baltimore, the way New England's built, Tennessee, it seems like teams are saying, all right, we can't run with them, so let's run them over.
Yeah, that's a very good observation. And that's how we have seen the Patriots build over the years. They don't necessarily build just to win their division, take out the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills. They're building to stop Indianapolis, to deal with Kansas City, to try and, you know, offset whatever moves those teams make. There's a reason that Jawan Williams was drafted at 6'3 as a cornerback. That was to deal with treetop wide receivers. Now, it hasn't worked out for Jawan, but the point remains, that's what the Patriots see as their competition. I don't know how you can bully a team defensively, though, that is that fast. That's why I look at a guy when they draft a Duggar to make the entire back end better, or you keep bringing in Jalen Mills and Adrian Phillips in addition to the very fast guys you have in your secondary.
Tom, are you confident that Cam Newton hurt his hand at practice, or are you buying in on some of these theories and rumors that it may have been a off-field injury?
Seems hard to believe to me. I'm buying the former, that it happened at practice. I mean, he's in practice, he's throwing it well, and then suddenly he's halfway through the practice ailing. I think that that's, unless I hear otherwise, I'm going to go with what was observed at Gillette Stadium. You had a guy playing and then stopped playing. I mean, unless I find out that he was at the Velvet Elvis like Roger Clemens, or a bar in Chelsea like Larry Bird, then we'll know.
Elvis. Oh, we got to end on that note. That's a, we haven't had a, I don't know if there's ever been a Velvet Elvis reference on WEEI in the whole time the station has been in existence. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Tommy, thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
There Thanks, we go. Tom. And Tommy is brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. It does kind of sound like the Cam situation isn't a caper.
No, it isn't. And it, for some reason, it picked up a little bit of steam and then was like, all right. Because then what we were trying to get to yesterday is, all right, so what? Like, let's say it was an injury, right? Like,
I think you and I were sharing a brain on that. It's like, okay,
like,
and?
I love a conspiracy, as you know, and I love all, like, okay, what could it be? And maybe they're not telling us the truth and whatever else. Like, all right, so what's the end goal? He's hurt and he can't play. Great, put in the next guy. Like, let's see what the kid has.
I'm with you on that. By the way, one of the texters out of the 603 asked Tommy if the Patriots should surprise the world and trade for Rodgers.
Yep, they should.
They really should.
They should trade
there
for Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. Because the Green Bay Packers have put a for sale sign up out in front of Lambeau Field. Jeez. Quarterback to a good home.
Mm-hmm.
Give us everything.
I'll take them.
Give us everything you have. What is the allowable amount of first-round picks that can be traded? They will start there and then move on. And part of the reason that the texter sends that in, A, in jest, but B, in Green Bay, apparently Aaron Rodgers is not going to show up today, in which he can get fined.
Okay, he'll get fined big time.
Oh, yeah. They're going to rack him up, too. Because you know what? It's almost like when you go to court and you have all these charges, right? Oh, yeah, you got $3,000 in fines, and you bring a good lawyer. Okay, write a check for $400, and then you're done. Like, that's going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have $250,000 in fines, and he'll, you know, make a donation to a Boys and Girls Club or do something for the sales department of the Packers, and it's done and forgotten about.
Shailene Woodley is going to say, is this a really good idea? Just burning money right now?
That's
what we're doing?
Yeah, that's
what's the story here? And he's like, we'll
what's
be fine.
Her net worth? Throw Shailene Woodley in the celebrity net worth.
I would imagine.
By the way, after we started doing that, somebody did it for Wiggy, and it apparently on the celebrity net worth, it said Wiggy worth between $1 and $5 million, and the next line was, what the F is he doing in radio? If it's $1 million cash, that is something. If it is $1 million that is not completely liquid, then, yeah, it's a bit of a different deal. I'm going to say Shailene Woodley is in the $20 million range.
Shailene Woodley, this is weird. It's a, oh, yeah, okay, net worth, $12 million.
$12 million. That's not bad.
I would have guessed higher. He's in a couple of like good movies, popular movies, TV shows.
Yeah.
A lot of money in.
But unless
that.
You're like The Rock or Tom Cruise or somebody who's like the whole captain of the ship, are you really getting the lion's share of the money?
Maybe not. No, she was in quite an ensemble before. And
what's her
Big
most
the Divergent films?
Oh, that's so.
Did those make money?
I was going to say films. Yeah, because I'm not a cinephile, but she was in Big Little Liars. I've at least heard
Big
of that.
Big Little Lies.
Lies. Sorry.
She needs in on like the MCU or Star Wars.
It says 40,000 per episode, so that must be for that show.
That seems a little low, but okay.
That does seem really
it
low.
It does, right?
The Friends, weren't Friends making like $10 million an episode?
Yeah.
No, that was network TV at its peak, but
of
still.
Of course. But
that's
yeah.
quite a gap.
And listen to us. Only 40 grand an episode.
I
cut my nards off in an episode if they're going to make me a permanent character and give me 40 grand an episode.
It's going to cost 39 to put him back on.
Yeah, right.
Done.
Whatever. Right. Exactly. So call me Eunuch. Done. Yeah. Right. Call me a hokey. See you later. My wife will figure it out. Anyway, Shine with the trend, and he's got a little breaking news.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do.
Smacking guys in the old yam bag.
Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
Yeah. And you say Shot City. Shot City. Shot City.
We're coming home again.
Is this on the Greg Hill channel on the Odyssey app? You know, Greg Hill has his own music channel on the Odyssey app. I didn't know if you've taken it in, Rich, or listened to any of
not
the
yet. Not yet.
Of the
it's in the queue.
Of the old white man music that'll be on the Greg Hill channel. Odyssey app. Greg Hill, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network and WEEI.com. We're going to make Rich Keefe happy because one...
He's validated.
One of the...
That's it.
Again, happy.
That's it.
One of the owners of the Boston Red Sox is, the most hated player in the NBA according to Twitter data. That's right.
Twitter data, so you know it's legit.
Yeah, Twitter data.
Okay.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly.
What's up?
That's right. So the latest map out of Sports Insider is based on geotagged Twitter data over the last month with over 70,000 tweets, hashtags, and direct keyword phrases about disliking NBA players in each state tracked.
Okay.
Tweets containing phrases such as, I hate LeBron.
Yep, that's kind of on the nose.
We're searched and noted.
There's no nuance there to how that person feels about LeBron.
According to the findings, James is the most hated player in the NBA in 24 different states.
Ooh, almost the majority.
Close. Two other players were among the most hated players in the league. Now, I know you've seen it, but...
Well, yeah, but the obvious guess would be Kyrie Irving.
But the third one... I thought would be up for conjecture, and it isn't. It's James Harden.
Yeah, James Harden. I would have gone Kevin Durant probably. Because first of all, to be hated, you have to be really, really good. People don't care or know non-great players. So I bet the top 10 most loved players is a similar group, to be, right? It's probably similar.
Don't you think there is a messy divorce after seeing some of this too in terms of like James Harden is the most hated NBA player, according to Twitter, in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And you could understand why.
Understandable is right. And I think when you look at all the guys that made this list, and they have six players that just are, that at least had a state.
Yes.
All of them have played for multiple teams in the last couple of years. So you're going to, there's a lot of player movement. So you're going to really alienate a certain fan base. It's a lot of guys that have wanted out of certain places. Then also, if you're doing it over the last couple of weeks or so, you're going to have playoff series.
Right.
So you're going to have, if your team is playing against, so like in Boston, watching the Nets, you obviously hated Durant, Kyrie, and Harden because they were smoking your team. And so that happened across the country as well. So that all factors in. But no, I mean, it's like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the most loved and the most hated player probably mm-hmm. in football. And I think LeBron James is probably the most loved player still, too. Like, I kind of understand that part of it.
Right.
But also realize that there are plenty of people out there that can't stand the guy.
What's really interesting is the New England states were dominated by Kyrie. So, like, LeBron,
good.
Got,
yes.
LeBron got 24 states. Kyrie got 18 of them. And the New England cluster is clearly for Kyrie. Now, Florida, for some reason, was dogging out Kyrie. I'm going to say that's the Boston transplants. Okay.
Yeah,
so maybe a little bit of that.
That could be.
However, Kyrie was also hated in North Carolina, Tennessee, Missouri, and Illinois. Can't figure that one out. Mm. Paul George is hated in Arizona the most. That's his one state.
Yeah, I was going to say that's weird because he never played for the Suns. They didn't just play the Suns. So whatever.
I would have thought Indiana would be pretty pissed at him considering he like hightailed it out of there. But they're LeBron haters too. And how about the state of Ohio?
Yeah, that's odd.
Going to Kevin Durant and not LeBron James.
LeBron or Kyrie.
Well, he the Kyrie gone to, thing, he, too. That's right.
Could have easily gone to either one. And I think with LeBron, if you did this poll 8 years ago, it would have easily been LeBron. But now that he came back and won a title for him, it sounds like they've completely forgiven him. Like, they're like, we don't worry about those 4 years in Miami where you could have been here and you were down there and going to the finals every year. But so they turned their attention to Durant. Which is, by the way, he's in the news again. You see what's going on with Kevin Durant?
Oh, no. What now?
So Jay Williams apparently compared Kevin Durant to Giannis, and that led Kevin Durant to losing his mind. He tweeted out less than an hour ago, "Mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media bleep. Wanting to be accepted." Oh, just jumped on me. Never mind.
I hate that.
I was just looking right at it.
The jump is the Twitter timeline jump.
All right, here we go. Okay. "Mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media blank. Wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out all that corny ass talk about who's better and legacy and all that dumb bleep bleep. I don't even talk like that." So, like, apparently now you can't compare players to players. That's kind of the business.
And
it's kind of the job.
And is the
pale, pasty.
Yeah. So.
And
take
is,
it, take
and is
it.
The NBA going to just let him play forever? Like, he made the reference of you age out of the media. Kind of same thing in the NBA, right? Like, you know, isn't his business no different than what he just
forever.
Excited for?
That,
the, yeah, like, he's not going to be able to do it forever. Yeah. It's really funny, the things that set that guy off. It's just amazing to me, some of the things that he will respond to instead of understanding, all right, fine, it's a talking head, who cares? Yeah. Like, he gets legit upset over that.
Oh, you know what?
By the way, the day after they won by 39.
Oh, they destroyed them. They were up by like
50
Milwaukee. At one point.
It was insane.
Yeah, so I guess, so Jay Williams apparently said that Kevin Durant told him not to compare him to Giannis. And then, so I guess it's not just the comparison that he doesn't like, but it's just, also like he must have told him something. He's so sensitive.
Just go play.
It's crazy.
Just go. Like,
it's crazy.
He wants to tell us that the play does the talking,
yeah.
Yet he has done everything that he can.
You know, we're not going to bitch about it.
To build his own sort of media company, to control it supposedly and things like that, because he's so wanting to control the narrative.
So this is the story. Apparently, Jay Williams on his radio show today said, KD comes up to me at a club and says, "Yo, don't ever compare me to Giannis again." He's like, "Nah, don't ever compare that dude to me. Don't do it." And he goes, I felt that in his voice in that moment when this matchup came up, I'm like, ah, this is a proven moment for Kevin to show everybody he's not on the same page as me. So it's just a whole thing. And so it's like a back and forth.
Oh, my God. I mean, really, like, it's just he's amazing.
He's all fired up.
Unbelievable. Make us your new habit wherever you go. Take us with you. WEEI.com, the Odyssey app. You could ask your smart speaker to play WEEI. We know your routine is changing as the world is opening up. Make sure we are a part of it. And by the way, you could like work and watch us on Twitch. WEEI.com/watch. Up next, Joe Micheletti sucks. We just determine how bad next.
Like the show? Of course you do.
I hate this guy.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Quite the push by Boston in this third period. 14 shots. Don't underestimate the heart of the Bruins. They just keep coming. Boston is able to come up the ice and move the puck into the offensive zone. But the Bruins have been coming at them throughout this third period. They just keep coming and coming and coming. Boston just kept on coming. Kept on pushing, chipping away. No question about the momentum in the period. It's been all theirs.
I don't know. That was Joe Micheletti breaking down guys making moves at the bar at the Garden last night or Bruins players, but
they're going to need to hydrate.
There is, need some Gatorade there.
That maybe have a sit, too. Well, you got the yams. What's the yams? Cool off a little bit.
Yeah, Joe Micheletti.
I'd never heard of, and I feel like I never heard of this
guy. I'm shocked.
I'd never heard of this guy, and I know obviously Doc Emrick retired, and it was going to jumble up some of these NHL teams. But for the most part, I just watched the Bruins on Nesson throughout the regular season, and if it's a big game, I feel like it's not. I see like Kenny Albert. I'm not used to these guys, and I know Pierre. We've had Pierre on the show. But the two guys in the booth, I'm like, who are these guys? Right out of the shoot, game one, it was kind of jarring. You're like, all right, this ain't great.
Forslund, John Forslund, to me, is the prototypical just play-by-play guy, right?
Yep.
Insert him here, and there you go. He could show up anywhere. But Joe Micheletti has been calling hockey for like 20 years, at least in New York, and he's one of these talking heads down there. I think this is, and I know they had Milbury in studio, but like when you had Milbury to be able to call games, he was great, right?
Yeah. And
that's not Boston bias.
Yeah.
And Eddie Olczyk and guys like that. Well, now it's all spread out all over the place now. And like you got the whole Canada group and all that stuff.
Clearly the Bruins Islanders is not a priority for NBC.
No, it's the who are the guys that we can put in a car and keep them out of a plane. And Micheletti would be one of them. But good God almighty.
Sheesh.
He has been like epically bad.
Coming and coming and coming.
Well, I mean, it's
uses that more than I use nice.
He really does. That's like his go-to.
There's such a line there. And
you
got to
open up the thesaurus a little bit.
You're
on TV. You're doing these games. These are big games. A lot of people are watching.
I even cringe what I'm about to say, right? Because I hate this. It's so lazy. But is Micheletti on like the Mount Rushmore of awful analysts?
What is a Mount Rushmore, Grish?
Mount Rushmore would be the four biggest idiots can find, at least for this instance.
Yes. I thought it was that thing in Italy that erupted.
Mount Rushmore.
That's four faces of the first four presidents of the United States.
Is it the first four?
First four presidents. Actually, it was just faces that were there originally, and they said, we have to choose our presidents based on what these guys look like.
Listen,
and then they found guys that looked similar.
Wait, then why
Richard,
Ben Franklin?
You are wrong. I'm on there. They are edging. They are edging my face in right now.
The five faces that.
That's right.
Signify.
Five faces of fear.
That's right.
I'm the only one of them. No, but in all seriousness, right? Like,
is he
this
one of the four or five worst? I think so.
Dan Fouts, Beasley Reese territory?
So that's the thing.
One way of getting the jitters to calm down is to get them knocked out of you.
Yeah. Dan Fouts.
Same for poop.
Especially by the end. Dan Fouts at the end of his run.
Can confirm.
Was really bad.
He was definitely distracted by the flying screen.
Well, Phil Simms had a similar. Phil Simms wasn't always atrocious. It just came to the end where you're like, oh boy. It's a problem. Did if Sims and Fouts were in the same kind of boat, I would say.
Like, Sims had intel, but he wouldn't roll it out until the fourth quarter when the game was over with. Well, you know, when we sat with Bill Belichick yesterday, he told us blah, 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 and it worked Phil. Out. Hey, Phil, say the first quarter.
Yeah, you can mix it in earlier.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, the because you see so many or listen to so many of the NFL guys, because Monday Night Football had that run. Obviously, Dennis Miller was a failed experiment, but the Tony Kornheiser thing did not work.
Well, don't you think that those guys are kind of in the same vein?
Like, well, at least Kornheiser was a sports guy.
Set up to fail.
They were.
Because Kornheiser didn't know how to fit in to that booth.
No.
But some of what he said wasn't completely, like, Dennis Miller would go on this, you know, acerbic rant about Galileo in the middle of a game, where at least Kornheiser, like, he might have made a bad pun, but at least he wasn't as cringeworthy as Dennis Miller
was. At least
he
didn't need to Google it after.
Seriously.
But Dennis Miller, I mean, that guy, talk about not being afraid of people not getting the joke. Like, just over just reference after reference after reference.
I'm trying to, what years was he?
Miller?
Monday Night
late
Football.
90s?
Or okay.
Something like that.
I think it was late 90s.
Early 2000s?
Well, I was trying to remember if Google was as big a thing as it was.
No, you could just,
you'd have to go to the old thesaurus or the dictionary or something.
You would just be swimming in the references, and you're like, all right. Like, I get it. Weekend Update, I thought he was pretty good. Like, he was good at SNL.
Yeah, but that's, pre-written jokes.
But that, not doing a football game.
No.
Jason Witten was awful.
Oh,
and he
good
was only
one.
There for like a year.
Yes.
He was so bad. He was bounced after a year.
I forgot about that.
All right, worse, Witten or
Ibukam.
Witten or Booger McFarland.
No, Witten was worse.
Witten was way worse.
Witten was worse.
At least Booger's kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't think he's great either. I think it's
slithering and withering.
Yeah, it's a bad team, but Witten was definitely worse. Witten was like, oh my God, just because he's friends with and played with Tony Romo doesn't mean he's going to be good at the broadcast.
No, it isn't. And that's the prototypical big network. Mm-hmm. Or let's do something different.
You don't play to win this, get a field goal. You play to go score a touchdown.
This business used to be you had to have some experience, not just a name to go do it. Now they put the names in there and let them fail. And then blame the people who put them in there when in reality they're pressured to put them in there in the first place.
You think
place.
You'd do like a tryout game or two.
Yeah,
they clearly never did a game with Witten and they're like, all right, here we go.
They're so
one.
Aggressive.
Right.
And they're so instinctive that you have to play their strengths against them in that moment.
Okay.
What on earth was that?
Line. Like, well, no, it's not scripted. You could just.
All I will tell you is this. I guarantee this year that UMass football will be entertaining on whatever network we are on because I will make it that way.
That's right. It's a promise to you, the UMass listener.
Because no one has called more 50-point blowouts in college football than me over the course of my lifetime.
Well, that's good because the second half just turns into a talk show.
It kind of does.
There's no more games.
Hey, listen, man.
Yep.
That was Mike Gorman's plan. Uh-huh. Go ahead, kid. There you go.
Have at it.
You talk, I'll say. First down. Ball's on the 40. Mm-hmm. See you later. Go ahead and just do your thing. No, but Micheletti has got awful.
He's kind of hurting the series.
It makes you appreciate what we have around here in terms of the analysts. And even, you know, some of the people on Nesting, guys like it makes you realize we have some, you know, some half professionals.
Correct. Yeah. No, it's a good market for the broadcast teams.
Man, this Micheletti.
I don't know.
Coming.
Calm down.
When I heard that last night, I almost fell off the couch.
You almost were. Oh.
It was Thai food.
Thai food Mondays, huh?
Yeah, Thai food Monday.
That must smell great in that producer's booth right now.
I mean, I'm doing just fine. It's not.
It
it's not me that I'm worried about it here, Crash. Yeah, come on.
Well,
he can control his bowels. Regardless of what
this time of day. This is Shime's time of day. Afternoon, I start to let loose.
He doesn't have a latch.
I'm just in here drinking water, doing my job.
It's a timed latch.
Scouring through the bulk of the game for that.
The alarm goes off, and then it's open for the next.
Circadian rhythm.
It's open for the next 12 hours. Coming up. Who starts in goal for the Bruins in Game 6? That, and we'll talk to our buddy Pete Blackburn of Bally Sports next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.